سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى، إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. صلوات على محمد وعلى آله.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Truly, the Eid, which we know as Eid al-Zahra, is a blessing and a source of happiness, not just for us, but for Ahlul Bayt. You know, this is, you can say, the one Eid that truly Ahlul Bayt, this has made all of Ahlul Bayt happy. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The whole of Ahlul Bayt, all the Imams, are happy on this Eid. No other Eid has made them this happy. You know, if you go back and see the Eid, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, you know, when we look at it, we see that obviously it is a day of sacrifice, it is a day of worship, it is a day in which we worship Allah. And we went through a test. Then when you look at it, on the other hand, you have Eid al-Ghadir, which is a source of happiness for Ahlul Bayt, because the message of Allah has been complete. The religion that Allah has sent has been perfected. And the blessings that Allah has sent has been fulfilled. So Allah gives these three reasons for the mu'mineen to be happy, and at most Ahlul Bayt, for them to be happy. But you see, the message of Ghadir was the beginning of their happiness. The deen was perfected, the blessings were fulfilled, and the message was completed. But you see that even though the message was complete, but it wasn't established. It wasn't established. You see that right after Ghadir, what happened? Salawat ala Muhammad wa
ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
When you look at it, right after Ghadir, 2 months haven't passed that the Prophet had died, and the door to the house of Ahlul Bayt was broken down. So the happiness of Ghadir was short-lived. The happiness of Ghadir was short-lived. In 2 months after Ghadir, after Allah established and perfected the deen, you see, the door to the house of Ahlul Bayt was burnt and broken down. Ghadir did not bring joy to Ahlul Bayt. It brought sufferings to Ahlul Bayt. Right? And the effect of Ghadir was seen in Karbala. It was seen in Karbala. And the family of the Prophet was slaughtered. Now you see, what makes Ahlul Bayt happy? What makes them happy? What gives joy to their heart? You know, for them to go through sufferings is not a hardship for them. For them to go through afflictions is not a hardship for them. In fact, they welcome that. But you see, the goal that the prophets, the messengers, and the imams have, if that goal is complete, that completion of that goal is the greatest source of happiness for all the prophets and all the imams. The reason that they are living, if that is complete, the reason that they have lived, the reason that they have struggled, the reason if they have sacrificed, if that reason is fulfilled, then you see that they are, their whole, the source of happiness is in them. Because all these things will be worth it then. You know, for example, we want to make this masjid or center, and we make the intention, then we put in the money, then we do all these things and hard work and sacrifice, and everyone makes their sacrifices, and at the end, if the center is not made, then it's a, all those sacrifices are really, we wish that we could have done better. That regret will always be there that it could have been done better. Even though we did it for Allah, Allah will reward us for it. Allah will reward us for it. But we want that if it was done, then the reward is also there. The joy and happiness is also there. That it's done. My friends, this Eid and this day is the day that has made the whole of Ahlul Bayt and all the Anbiya happy because of the fact that the promise of Allah and the reason for that promise to be fulfilled has taken on his authority.
Yeah, that's right.
Imam of our time has taken the responsibility of the imamate. All the prophets and the imams have worked towards this. That he takes it in his hand so that he can fulfill this. Yes, they worked hard and their reward is with Allah. They sacrificed Allah, their reward is with Allah. But the center has to be made. And when that is made, then you see that they are going to be happy. And now the first reason that they have done their job and they have given the flag to the Imam of our time. This is, you see, the source of happiness that they have. And hence, this Eid is a blessing for believers. Now friends, when we look at blessings, Allah has blessed us with two types of blessings. Allah has blessed us with two types of blessings. There are those blessings that have to do with dunya or the world. There are those blessings that have to do with dunya and this world. Worldly blessings. These are also blessings. Right? And that there are spiritual blessings. Both of them are blessings. Allah gave us life in this dunya, it is a blessing. Allah, He gave us eyes to see, it's a blessing. Allah, He gave us a tongue to speak, it's a blessing. Allah gave us energy and strength, it's a blessing. It's a ni'mat from Allah. Right? It is a blessing. Allah gave us a spouse and children, it is a blessing. Allah, He gave us wealth, it is a blessing. Now on the other hand, there are spiritual blessings. Allah gave us Islam. This is a blessing. Right? Allah gave us Iman. This is a blessing. Allah gave us knowledge. This is a blessing. Allah gave us Ma'rifat. This is a blessing. Allah, He gave us the sense of sacrifice. This is a blessing. Allah gave us the blessing to thank for our blessings. This is a blessing, right? These are blessings. So there are two types of blessings. One blessings for dunya, one blessings for akhirah. One blessings in this world, one blessings that are for our ruh, our spirituality. So one type of blessings for the physical existence, one blessings for the spiritual existence. Two types of blessings. The problem is that insan or human beings have never understood that these spiritual blessings are blessings. Allah says in the Quran, "Bal tu'siruna al-hayat ad-dunya." They prefer the life of this world. Well, akhiratu khayru wa abqa. Even though the hereafter is better and everlasting. They prefer the life of dunya. And hence, to them, the blessings of dunya are blessings. The blessings of akhirah and hereafter are not blessings. You see, how do you know a blessing is a blessing? You see, there are, it's a secret formula. How do I know that a blessing is a blessing? How do you know that a blessing is a blessing? The formula is very simple. The formula is, my friends, understand this clearly. What is a blessing for me? What is a blessing for you? Two things we need to look at. Are we happy when we get it? And are we sad when we lose it? This is the way to know if you regard this as a blessing or not. For example, if you get money, are you happy receiving it? And when you lose money, are you sad losing it? If these two things apply, then you regard money as a blessing. If you want a house, if you get a house, then are you happy getting the house? If yes, I'm happy. It makes me feel really happy to get it. And are you sad if you lose it? Let's say if you lose it. Are you sad losing it? Then it means you regard this as a blessing. It means you regard this as a blessing. My friends, this is what happens. When it comes to the blessings of dunya, we are all happy when we get it, and we're all sad when we lose it. But when it comes to the blessings of akhirah, then that's the thing to decide now. Islam. Were we glad when we got it? Or are we sad if we lose it? Are we happy that we got it? Alhamdulillah, we got it. And if it goes away, are we sad? Are we like, alright, it'll come back again. Understand this, my friends. You know, like for example, there is a knowledge being given now. There's a speech, there's a majlis. You know, are we happy when we get it? And are we sad when we lose it? For example, we couldn't make it. Oh, we are really sad. Or we say that, you know, it's every week. Understand this, you know. When this is a, then you know if you regard it as a blessing or not. Most of the times we see that we don't regard the things of Akhirat as blessings. We don't regard it as blessings. We look at them as something that we can do without. If we get it, it's alright. If we don't get it, then I'm not going to fret about it. I'm not going to be upset about it. If that is the attitude, then we see that we don't regard it as a blessing. And what we don't understand is the fact that the blessings of dunya, in reality, are not blessings. Understand this. The blessings of dunya are in reality not blessings. They're not told to be blessings. The blessings of dunya is fitna. This is a trial for us. You see, the blessings of dunya is a trial for us. If we get money, it's a trial. It's a burden. If we get assets, it's a burden. If we get children, then it's a burden. Not to raise them, but to train them. To train them. Now it's a responsibility now. You know, one, having the children, yes, we are happy that we had a child. But the second thing is that, now you're responsible to train him. Now you're responsible to look after him. It's a responsibility. Any blessing of dunya is attached with a responsibility. There's no blessing in this dunya that doesn't come with a responsibility. Every blessing of this dunya comes with a burden, with a responsibility. There's nothing that you can think of that in this dunya that has to do with this dunya that is not burdensome or it doesn't have responsibility attached to it. See the difference now? Now you see, this is what we haven't understood. We thought that having money or having children is a blessing. Allah says, this is not a blessing, this is a fitna. Malun wa banun fitnatun. Right? Wealth and children are the fitna of this dunya. Fitna means trials. This is the trial of this dunya, that you have children, now you train them. Now you have wealth, now you're responsible to use it correctly. If you didn't have it, you would have that trial, right? If I didn't have money, then you know what? I'm not responsible for how I use it. I don't have it. Allah can't ask me. So what do you do with your money? Allah, I've never had money. I never had money, you know? Okay, you're good. The fact is that if we have money, then Allah says, hey, listen, I gave you 10,000 that time. Remember, what do you do with it? I didn't know you gave it to me. You know? Understand this. This is what happens, you know, because of the fact that the money was a trial. If I don't have children, right, Allah won't ask me, so what do you do with your children? I never had one. Okay, good. You know what happens? Because if you have it, now Allah will ask, I gave you one. What do you do with him? I enjoyed him, I spoiled him through my love, this and that. So now what happens? Allah will say, alright, you know, you're responsible now. You see, every blessing and every ni'mat of dunya is attached with a burden. There's nothing that is without a burden. Everything that you have in this dunya is attached with a burden, and you'll be questioned for it. And hence, to us, how strange is it that when we get a burden, we are happy. Oh, I got money, I'm happy, exhilarated. If I lose it, you see, you have a heart attack. That happens. You know, you see how many people have heart attacks when the market went down. It happens, right? Because of the fact that they really regard this as a blessing. Now you see, do we have the same emotion? Do we have the same emotion when we lose our akhirat? Do we have the same kind of attachment when we lose our spirituality? If we lose a majlis, oh my goodness, the majlis is lost. You know, What are you thinking about? We'll get another one.
Watch it online.
Right? Are we afraid of losing knowledge? Are we really upset when we lose something of the hereafter? Because this will help us to understand if we regard the blessings of Akhirat as a blessing. And when we look at it, my friends, understand this. The blessings of dunya, I said, they come with burden. The blessings of Akhirat, the thing that is attached to them, the blessings of Akhirat always come with reward. The blessings of Akhirat always come with reward. No burden, just reward. There's no burden attached to it, and it's just reward. My friend, when Allah gave us Islam, when He gives us Iman or increases knowledge in us and increases Iman in us, then you see what happens? We ourselves, there's nothing attached to it. When you have Iman, the only thing attached to it is Ajr and reward. Ajr and reward. This is how you see, when Allah gave us blessings, when He blesses us in this dunya, you see how people think. Allah explains this in Surah Al-Fajr. In Surah Al-Fajr, He explains this phenomena of how we deal with blessings of dunya. When they come, how do we deal with it? Allah says that, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانِ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ. And as for man, whenever Allah tests him, tries him, He gives him, and how does He test him? فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَأَمَهُ. He honors him and He grants him favors, blessings. See, whenever Allah wants to test someone, He gives them honor and He gives them money, wealth. This is a trial. So now, when He gives them the trials, when He gives them money and He gives them izzat and honor, then you see, that person who's receiving it, he says, فَيَقُولُ Rabbi أَكْرَمَنِي. Allah has favored me. When I get money, then I say, Allah is respecting me. He is, because He gave me money. He gave me wealth. He gave me a house. Allah has respect for me. Allah is favoring me. You see that? Allah has favored me because He gave me so much. And Allah is saying, listen, I didn't give you this. Right? There's no reward in this. This is a trial for you. It's a trial. I gave you this so I can try you. And you are proud of this trial? For that form. And then what happens? Then on the other hand, He says, وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ. See, there are two ways that Allah tries. Either He gives you and tries you, or He takes away from you and tries you. And here Allah says again, that when we try Him, by taking away from Him His risk, or making it less, straightening it, making it less, then you see what happens. He says, فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانَنِي. That Allah has humiliated me. Allah has put me down. I had money, I lost it. Allah put me down. You see, I had money, I lost it. Allah put me down. If Allah gave me money, I'm respected. In other words, to them, dunya is blessing. To them, dunya is a blessing. Because they judge good and bad through dunya. If Allah gives them dunya, then it's a blessing He gave them and Allah has respected them. If Allah takes away dunya, then He has disrespected them, dissed them. And now there's no respect for them. So now, when you look at these two sides, then you understand that we have misunderstood what blessings really are. My friends, the real blessing that we have, that we must appreciate for and we must be attached to, are the blessings that are going to provide for us in the hereafter. And then when you see this emotion, then you know. that when the month of Ramadan leaves, are you happy that it's gone? Or are you upset? When the month of Muharram leaves, are you upset? Or are you happy? Finally, it's over. You understand this? This is that love, because there's no understanding that this is blessing, that's why there's no love in this. You know, when we look at this, then we see that yes, for a mu'min, for a true person who understands what blessings are, to him he would want to go on. That's why the Imam has said, "Kullu yawmin Ashura wa kullu ardhin Karbala." Every day is Ashura and every day is Karbala. For a mu'min, every day is Karbala. Every day is a trial, every day is a remembrance of the trial that happened in Karbala. Right. My friends, if it wasn't for the fact, really, if it wasn't for the fact that the Imam of the time has taken authority and has become the Imam, and he is going to take revenge of the injustice that has been done to Ahlul Bayt, then this mourning would have gone 24/7, 365. This mourning would have gone 365. That's it. Why? Because there's no... The only reason it ends, the only reason it stops, the only reason that we stop is because of the fact that now the one who will avenge the blood and the one who will take revenge of the injustice has taken authority. So from that point, now we turn our attention from Karbala to the Imam of our time. And say that yes, that injustice has been done, we cry for it, but now that the Imam has taken over, now we are going to prepare for him. We are going to get ready for him. We're going to get ready for him. And hence, this is the reason why the rest of the year, we don't spend and say that, oh, okay, Muharram is done, now it's time to go back and enjoy. See, Muharram was there to charge you up. Right? The whole azah and this morning was there to charge you up for what? So I can be all charged up for nothing? No, the whole charging was for the process of now. The rest of the year, we need to be making the preparation for our Imam. This is what we are doing. My friends, we are here to understand that this was a blessing that came and went, and we are sad for it. And the Imam now is a blessing also. And this faith in the Imam is a blessing also. And this is a blessing that we are now working for, to make us ready for the Imam. My friends, this is the duty that we have to do. This is where we have come to. Now is the time that the days of theory, you can say, is over, and the days of practice begins. We take that ideology that we learned from Imam Hussein and apply it to our life so that we can prepare for the Imam. This is what it's for. You know, my friends, understand this, right? Both these are a blessing. The Imam of our time and Karbala. Really, the Imam of our time and Karbala. And really understand it very much. Both of these have meaning because each other. Both of them have meaning in themselves because of each other. Right? Without Karbala, there won't be a ground for the reappearance of the Imam. And without the Imam of our time, Karbala would have no meaning. And hence, the Imam of our time has given meaning to Karbala. There's this injustice that has been done, the truth and falsehood that had been brought to one ground and one land, where the truth had been made clear from falsehood in such a way. It has been made clear. My friends, in no other time has the truth been made so clear that it was in Karbala. Everyone can understand, you know. Two lines. See, everything came down to the Prophet. Prophet was the nucleus. And I want to just wrap this up in one clear explanation. The Prophet was the nuclear. He, if you put insan, all of mankind in a timeline, then you see that the Prophet was the point where everything from the past came to him, and from everything to the Prophet went forward. All falsehood was destroyed when the Prophet came. All falsehood was made batil. All religions became meaningless when the Prophet came. All religions of the past became meaningless when Islam came. Finished. Allah perfected that deen. He said, I fulfill my blessings on you. On the day of Ghadir, all false religions, all past, all kuffar became hopeless. It was finished. Right? So now whatever is the truth was in Islam. Whatever was in truth was in Islam. Understand this. So now Islam was the truth, everything else was falsehood. Islam is the light, everything else is dark. Now after the Prophet, Islam broke off into two chains. You see, now either this is right or that is right. Listen, either this is haq or that is haq. Two lines, there's no more Islam, that's it, two branches of Islam. Either this is the truth or that is the truth. But we know the Prophet is the truth. From the Prophet, these two lines came forward. Two ideologies came forward. I mean, you know, even though the Prophet came, Shaitan was still alive. Right? Shaitan was still alive. And he had to do his work. And he knew that, you know what? At the time of the Prophet, you see, at that time he said that I'm hopeless of what I'm doing. But he was born, and on the day of Ghadir, he became hopeless. Understand this. Allah, he says in Ghadir, and I want you to see the eloquence of how Allah speaks in the Quran. He says, Al-Yawm ya'itha alladhina kafaru an deenikum. Those who are kafir have become hopeless of your religion, meaning hopeless of misguidance. They have understood that Islam is the truth. They cannot do anything about it. Now tell me, who is Shaitan? Is Shaitan a mu'min? Shaitan a Muslim? What does Allah say? وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Shaitan is the kafir also. So Shaitan had also become hopeless on the day of Ghadir. Because now the truth had been made clear to everyone that Islam is the truth. Finished. And now he had to do something about this. So he interfered, right? And he made his own ideology, and now the only issue was that which ideology? Shaitan's. Which ideology in these two is Shaitan's? Is it this one or that one? See, that was the problem now. Right? Where do we end this? How would that become clear now? We know the Prophet is Haq, but after the Prophet, then what? How would we know that? So that's why you see, Imam Hussein made such a movement that he brought that ideology and this ideology to one battlefield. He brought it to one stage so that now they cannot hide behind mountains or in the caves or in rat holes. Now you see that they brought to one stage. Now how do we know the difference? How would we know the difference? And now the difference was clear. Understand this. How many ways Imam Hussein had cleared it? I'll just mention one so that you understand it clearly. Is this the Islam of Allah and the Prophet, or is that the Islam of Allah and the Prophet? And the example Imam Hussein gave, you see, when Yazid sent his army, Imam Hussein took that army that came behind him. He knew they were behind him. They wanted to get him. And Hur was in charge of that army. So when they came behind him, that legion that Hussein, that Hur was leading, they were brought to a point where they were dying of thirst. They're dying of thirst. Imam Hussein stopped. They came to Imam Hussein, and the whole army, all the people in the army were dying of thirst. Imam Hussein, the people knew that this is the army of Yazid. They are the enemies. They're dying of thirst. Right? So Imam Hussein gave the order that to Abbas, that Abbas, go and make sure that you give the drinks that we have. Take all the drinks that we have, all the water we have, and give them the water to drink. And then after that, to the horses also. When they're done, give it to the horses, so the horses drink. Give all the money, all the water we have over there. What was Imam Hussein doing? He was just saying, this is our Islam. This is our Islam. Right? This is our Islam. Now, what is that Islam? That if you see your enemy also dying of thirst, give them water, give them life. Give them life, give them water. Right? This was Hussein's Islam. Now the next Islam. Now Imam Hussein said, you saw mine, now let's see yours. I will give you the opportunity also. I will give you the chance also to show your Islam. So he brought out Ali Asghar. He brought out Ali Asghar, his 6-month-old son, and said, now show me your Islam. He is dying of thirst. He is neither your enemy, neither does he have any side, he's just a 6-month-old infant. Just a 6-month-old infant. Now let's see your Islam. My friends, they showed what their Islam was. Right? They showed what their Islam was, they shot the arrow, they killed his son. Now these two examples have been set in history. Both sides, both Islam came to one battlefield. One Islam was that you feed your enemies. The other Islam was that you kill children because they're thirsty. Understand this. These two Islam became apparent. Now tell me, my friends, the principle is very simple. You know, you will only insult the intelligence if you say both of these are Islam.
Yes.
You will insult intelligence if you say this is also Islam, that is also Islam. You see, Imam Hussein made it so clear, so contradictory, that you know, one of them has to be Islam, the other cannot be Islam. So the only thing that you need to decide is this: if Yazid is right, then say Hussein was wrong. And if you say Hussein is right, then at least say Yazid is wrong. But do not say both of them are right. Because both of them cannot be right. Islam cannot contradict itself. Imam Hussein had made the truth so clear that now you either accept Hussein as right and or Yazid as right. But both of them cannot be right. And if you accept Hussein as right, then accept the source where Hussein is coming from all the day. You see that if you accept Hussein as being right, then also accept the source and the origin he comes from. And the line that he comes from. If you say that Yazid is wrong, then also say the line that Yazid is coming from is also wrong. Say the line is also wrong. Don't say, wait a minute, whatever it is. This is one line that came down. There was no other third ideology. There was no third ideology in Islam. It was just this or it was just that. And if both of them have been clear, then at least accept the fact which one is right, which one is wrong. My friend, this is how Imam Hussein made it clear. He made it so clear that now that Islam has become clear, which is Islam of the Prophet. That which was on Hussein's side in Karbala. The other side, you're responsible for accepting that. You know, accept it at your own risk. Allah does not make guarantees of that. No guarantees. He has to take it as is. There's no warranty. Nothing. But when it comes to Ahlul Bayt, Allah did take the responsibility. Allah did take the responsibility. He said Allah has intended to purify them. To make sure that they don't make mistakes. To make sure that they don't do wrong. Allah has made that intention. So if Allah made that intention, who are we to interfere? So we are saying that, listen, Ahlul Bayt, we are falling because they are clear. So now, Imam Hussein made Islam clear. Now when that Islam became clear, now the only thing that was remaining is now to see that that Islam which Allah has sent down and Allah has intended is going to be established in the world.
You
see? So now from Karbala, you see the movement begins. Of making the true Islam clear to everyone. And so we mourn so that this whole issue can be raised. Allah has wrapped up His message in mourning so that it can happen anywhere and under any circumstances. You know, He wrapped His message up in mourning, in grief. Why? Because when you are mourning, no one can criticize you for it.
Yes.
No one can say, hey, why are you mourning for your dead? That's mourning, man. No one can say anything against that. So you wrapped it up in mourning so that the message, that pill that Allah wanted everyone to have can be given. It's like sugar-coating medicine. You know, you want children to eat medicine, you make it sugar-coated so it can be given. Allah wrapped it up in grief and mourning so that it can be done and it can happen and it can occur in any circumstances. Even the enemies who are there, they will, when you look at them and say, hey, listen, we are crying. You know, and hence, why? One, for the fact that you can do it anywhere. And the other thing, for the fact that if anyone opposes this grief and mourning, they will be looked at as queer.
Yes.
They'll be asked, hey man, these people want to cry, why don't you let them cry? You know? To make it clear that those who oppose this, their action is inhumane. I mean, I lost my father, if I'm crying for it, what's it to you?
That's it.
What's it to you, man? I lost my father, I'm crying for it, I'm mourning, so... The issue is that to make it clear, my friends. Do you see how, with what wisdom Allah has done this? With what wisdom that Allah has made it clear. So that we can work for the Imam now and make it clear and into our lives and in the lives of our own people over here, the center. My friends, this must be a place where we are establishing the message of our Imam and applying his system in this place. Right? And Allah has not asked us to do a lot. He's not asking us to take over Florida. You know? No. Just establish yourself wherever you are according to the system that Allah has given us. And when we establish ourselves with that system, then you see, now the only thing that counts is what Allah wants, not what we want. And this is why we are here and striving to establish that pure Islam. That Islam that the Prophet had given, that Islam that was shown by Imam Hussein in Karbala, and that Islam that the Imam of our time is going to establish. So at least if we establish in this one corner of Tampa, then that's one less job for the Imam to do when he comes back. So we are just relieving him of his burden, making his job less so that when he comes back, at least he knows one area is done. Right? Understand this. This is all we are doing. And that's why we are trying to establish the system of the Imam. And this is why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. And to give us that strength that we can establish Islam. And that we can follow Islam. And that we can be those people who will hold the flag of Islam and raise it with respect. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path, the wisdom to understand His guidance, hasten the reappearance of our Imam, make us His helper when He comes. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Before we start taking the questions, first of all, these children, the kids, a lot of them in Muharram, as you have seen, were writing notes. And we had promised them prizes for the notes that they have written. All of them will get the prizes. There's one winner. And the rest are in second place. But all of them have done an excellent job. So now, I'm just going to take the names All those students who have done the job of writing the notes, and they have done an excellent job. So first of all, Ali Mu'mini. Come forward and get your prize. Okay. Hassan Manzar. I guess they're not here. Alright. Haider Manzar also is not here. Abbas Ali Mansoor. Hussein Ali Mansoor. Ali Mehdi Gardesi is not here also. Hussein Bey.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And the winner who had written down the best notes of what we saw is Ali Zain Bangesh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And we ask Allah to give them all more tawfiq, inshallah, and bless them more. Now, the other thing, my friends, is that next week, inshallah, we will be commemorating the birth of the Prophet and salawat ala
Muhammad.
And Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. And both of these personalities were born on the same day. So we will be having that, inshallah, next week, next Saturday, inshallah, we'll be commemorating that. And as you know that we had just announced that we are going to have a board general body meeting also, as required by the constitution. Once a year we do that, and that is on the birthday of the Prophet. So if anyone wants to discuss about anything, have anything on agenda, please email it to us so that we can add it in. And then inshallah we will appoint like volunteers to do the work here and to take charge of the things that we do here, inshallah. If there's anyone, we have the charity festival also, which is on March 28th. March 28th is going to be the charity festival at the park, if you remember that. And obviously the Muslim Congress flyers are here for everyone, you know, that if they want to get it, you know, you're free to get it, you know. If you want to book your hotels, go and book your hotels. This year, as you know, it's in Miami. So, you know, we will be doing a lot of the work and volunteering to make sure that it's done right. Alright, inshallah, yeah, so we'll be in charge of that. But it's in Miami, and inshallah, you know, we ask you that if you want to book your hotels, you can go ahead and book them now. It's better for you all, alright? Now, any questions? Yes, sir. If you know hadith Qissa, right? And in the hadith of Qissa, right, we see that Jibreel asked Allah who these people are under the blanket. Right? Man taht al Qissa, you know? So Allah introduced Ahlul Bayt through Fatima. He said, Al-Fatima wa abuha wa ba'luha wa banuha. This is Fatima, her father, her husband, and her children. So she is like the nucleus of Ahlul Bayt. Right? So the most one who will be happy for the revenge of Imam Hussein will be Fatima. And hence it's called Eid al-Zahra for that reason. Now we call it, that's the wisdom you have. Has a question. Do the sisters have any questions? Yeah, go ahead. Ask them.
The sisters have any questions?
They're
parties.
They're parties. A trial from
sisters.
No, that's all right.
A trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't we look forward to it?
Yeah.
I mean, when Muharram Ramadan comes,
right.
At least from what I've seen, we're like anxious for it.
Yes, yes.
Because of all the things we get, or rape, you know, running things we get for it. So, why do we have. Sorry, I mean, is. So why not look at children and wealth as a, like, why don't we welcome it as a challenge, just like we welcome fasting as a challenge, or keeping prayer and salat on time as a challenge, as a good challenge? Why not look at, why is there a negative, or am I perceiving it wrong, there being a negative connotation to a trial? Because as far as I understand, any trial comes with a reward if you do well. Just like a test, you pass it, you get an A,
you pass the test,
you get a patent back, whatever, the gold star. Why not the same? Why not look forward to the trials of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether He's taking away your health and your wealth, or He's giving you wealth?
Two things here. First of all, what you're trying to say is that the blessings of dunya, right, they come with trials, right? They come with a test. And obviously, the reason that these trials are given is so that we can grow, right? And yes, yeah, so we welcome those, right? A believer will welcome them. A non-believer will not. You know, when he sees his children becoming... See, a non-believer, when he sees his children becoming a nuisance, he wants to get rid of them. But a believer, when he sees his children becoming a nuisance, that strengthens him to become firmer, to become stronger. Yes, better parent, right? So this is the difference, you know. So obviously, yes, you know, a mu'min welcomes these trials. That's why we are told to have a lot of children. You know, many children, as much as we can. Because the more you do, the more trials you get. Yes?
Why, so if you say the reason they don't have a problem with the ask, why you do that at this time?
Because 15th of Shaban, he was born then, he didn't become the Imam then. Because 9th of Rabi Lawal, after the Shahada of Imam Hasan Askari, that's when he became the Imam. You know, so we are celebrating his imamate. That he is the imam of the time now.
It's not his birth.
15th of Shaban was his birthday. That's the day he's born. Like all the imams' birthdays we do. Right? But being born doesn't mean that you are the imam now. Meaning there's another imam above you, which is, you know, the one above you. So now when he became the imam, this is what we are trying to celebrate.
And then how long will it take?
For what? No, it's Monday. It's that day. Yeah.
It's the day, the first day.
It's the day of that, you know, day after the Shahadat of Imam Hasan Askari, the 9th of Rabiul Awwal. Right? Yes.
My question was, we were told that on this stage, Umar bin Asad got killed, and that's why we celebrate this.
Yeah, you know, this is just justification for not knowing. Like a lot of people, they don't know, and then they ask, you know, well, why are we doing this? They say, oh, because like Umar was killed, you know, Umar ibn Sa'd. Right? And hence, you know, this is the reason, you know, that was just get on. But no, there's no such thing, you know, that this happened on this day, and that's why we're doing it on this day. No, that's not the reason. Right, there's no such proof you can say of that.
But in our our area, the whole month is named as it is called Umar.
Is it Christian?
It is after the name of Umar.
Yes, I know. See, one thing leads to another, and it grows into something. Then you know we have to go back and try to rectify it. Okay. Facebook. I wrote a quote from Imam Jafar Sadiq. And I got a negative feedback because some said it was from the Prophet, even though Imam Jafar Sadiq was reported to quoted the same thing. My question is, how you reply to someone who say that the Imam is plagiarizing the Prophet?
Who is that?
You see, here's the thing, right? You know, it's very easy, my friends. You know, understand this. The difference between an alim and a professor. The difference between Islam and university is this. That in Islam, you become an alim by saying what the Prophet and the Imams have said. If you do that as a professor, you are blamed for plagiarism. So the university says, now you give your opinion, not the opinion of the Prophet or the Imams. In Islam, we say that we don't have an opinion. The Prophet and the Imams have an opinion. So the issue is that the Prophet and the Imams, they are reading from the same source. They are answering from the same source of knowledge, which is Allah. And that's the reason they do not answer anything differently from one another. They'll say the same thing. If you ask the Prophet this, if you ask the Prophet then. All these things have been said by the Prophet, and they have been repeated by the Imams. All of them. So there's no such thing as plagiarism in Islam. In fact, we are told to plagiarize the Prophet and the Imam. We're told to do that to become an alim. Right? If you don't do that, you don't become an alim.
Thanks to that, we don't have bid'ah.
Exactly. We don't have bid'ah or innovation or any of these things.
If you do, opposite, you become
an alim. The Prophet said, don't say that.
Here's that.
Can't hear. Say it. We can't hear you.
The question was, there were two according to the lecture. There were two types of blessings. Blessings of dunya, and that's attached with responsibility.
Right.
And blessings of akhirah attached with reward. Isn't it also the blessings of akhirah also attached with responsibility when it comes to, for example, knowledge? When you have knowledge, you have the responsibility now also to get it to those
people.
Right.
Yes. See, here's the thing. When you have knowledge, it makes you act. Knowledge is that which makes you act. The difference between knowledge and information. Information is a blessing of dunya. You read a book, it's a lot of information in there. Now you read the Quran, a lot of information in there. It's not knowledge. It becomes knowledge when it affects your life and brings you closer to Allah. That's what it's about. So knowledge itself has reward. Right? It's information, right, that we gain, right? We learn a lot of things here and there. This is information that we learn. Ittala'at, you know, what do we call it? Information. It's not knowledge. Knowledge, in the words of the Prophet, is that al-ilmu nuru yaqdhifu Allahu fi qalbi man yasha. Right? Knowledge is that light which Allah puts in the hearts of those whom He wishes. Meaning, it is a light. It brings you closer to Allah. Anything that doesn't bring you closer to Allah is not knowledge. It's information. This is the difference. Right? So yes, knowledge is a blessing of akhirat because, you know, you see it, there's no responsibility attached to it because it's making you do things. It's changing your life. Yes, the thing is that, you know, when you become an alim, yes, when you become an alim and you have that, then there's a responsibility that Allah gives at a higher level, not at the dunyavi level, at a higher level, out of your own choice. Not as an obligation, but out of your own choice. That if you want to give zakat of knowledge, then you teach. Right? And what happens is that when a person gains knowledge, right, it makes him do the things Allah wants him to do. That's the main thing. It makes him do the things Allah wants him to do. He will teach. If a person, you pick. Knowledge. Last question.
I have a question.
What happened? Anyone has a question?
Yes, we have a question.
Okay, hold on one minute. We can discuss this later, you know?
Sister,
yeah.
Ask people to be silent, please.
We tried, it's not working.
Say it on the speaker.
Everybody, Malana, say quiet, please. Malana, say
quiet.
Respect, quiet. Yes, you heard that? Okay, the question is, in Hadith al-Kisa, towards the end, I don't have the Hadith al-Kisa in front of me, but
say
towards
it.
The end, it says that wherever our Muhib and Shia will gather, that place will be blessed. Why is there two different words being used, Muhib and Shia? Is that two different people Allah is
yes,
talking about?
Yes, they're two different people, you know. Think that there are people who love Ahlul Bayt, but they're not their Shia. I think I was explaining in the morning in this call, right? They asked me about that. The issue is this. Many people who say they love Ahlul Bayt, they don't love them, they're infatuated by them. Mm-hmm. It's an infatuation. They admire them for being great, and hence, it's just like an infatuation of an like NBA player, you know? You like. You're infatuated by him, you know? The love happens when there's ma'rifat. Right? Love happens when there's ma'rifat. But the thing is that when Allah, He mentions muhib, it's like, for example, those people who are, you know, they love Ahlul Bayt, they say that, yes, you know, we admire them and this and that. Shia are the ones who have love with ma'rifat. Right? That's why they obey them and follow them. They take their orders from them.
Yeah.
This is the job of Shia. This is the reason that, yes, in this dunya, when you read the hadith, it says that those who remember this hadith from the Muhib and the Shia, both of them will be blessed in dunya. But Imam Ali answers back and says, Fuzna wa fazlu Shiatuna. That in the hereafter, the Muhib don't get anything, it is the Shia who will be successful. So, in this dunya, salawat So you see that, yes, you know, everyone is rewarded, or, you know, everyone gets blessing through Ahlul Bayt, whoever comes to them in this dunya. No matter if it's Shia, Muhib, or even those who, like, approach them, they're not even Muslims. You come them, you're going to get something, right, of them, from them. But in the hereafter, they're making it clear that the only ones who will get rewarded because of them will be their Shia. Right, those who will obey them. Right, and follow them. Alright, I think that's it, inshallah. We will end the salawat ala Muhammad.